Hello, welcome to another episode of Anime's Anime. We have our special feature, Baddies in Podcasting, with Shoujo Sunday today, so stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody.
Hi.
All right. This is Crimson.
And this is Stony here.
And this is Ferris.
And we've got our very special guests, Chica and Gianna from Shoujo Sunday.
Yay!
Yes.
Hi, guys.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yay.
Oh, We're so excited to have y'all. So cool.
I just want to put on the record that this is dream collab for me. So thank you. Yes.
Similar feelings.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. You guys are awesome. And I just want to tell everybody how awesome you guys are and let you guys talk about how awesome you are. So for our first question, we want to know, who is Shoujo Sunday, and talk a little bit about yourselves.
Ooh, where do we start? Well, Shoujo Sunday is me and Chica. We met online when I was looking for a host to hopefully start a podcast with, and we hit it off immediately, and the rest is kind of history.
I think that's perfect that you guys met online. Like, I think some of the greatest friendships happen online, so, and we've had a similar experience where we all met online, so yeah. I just think that's really precious.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've, you know, met so many cool people over the internet, and it's just really nice to be able to reach people from all over. You never know what you can, like, create with someone you haven't met yet.
Yeah. I think it's like, I don't know, it's like kismet, really, because like, we started off the podcast and we became business partners before we were friends, and then it's just like, oh, now we're like the best of friends.
Yeah.
When you had the idea for starting a podcast, were you wanting it to be an anime podcast originally, or did it kind of just meld into that? Could you tell us, like, your thought process with all of that?
I knew I wanted to start up a podcast maybe in the late 2010s, early 2020s. I just didn't know what I wanted to talk about, and it took like months on and off of like randomly thinking about it before I finally realized that I really enjoy anime but don't really have anybody in my immediate circle to talk about anime with. So I was like, oh, I should maybe find somebody. I'm sure there's someone out there who would want to start an anime podcast with me.
Yeah, and it was specifically Shoujo too.
Yes. So,
yeah, so like Gianna was looking for a co-host to talk about Shoujo stuff with, and I think I'd seen it, like, because she'd post the ad on different places. So yeah. I think I'd seen it on Indeed. And then I also saw it on LinkedIn.
Oh, you were like in the trenches.
You were on it. Yeah.
Because I was going to make a joke. I'm like, oh, did you post it on Gig Salad? And like,
I was like, oh, Craigslist. Is this Craigslist still exists?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
I forgot about Gig Salad, though. That's funny.
Yeah, you're a singer. I'm sure you know about gigs. So.
Yeah.
That's really so dope. Funny. Actually, that kind of ties into another question that we had. Like, what was your inspiration to focus on shoujo specifically?
So even as kind of an anime noob then, and still kind of an anime noob now, I knew that shoujo anime encapsulated the things that I like in stories. So I wanted to be able to immerse myself in it even more, you know, like romance, drama, friendship, slice of life, family bonds, all that kind of thing. I just wanted to just dive headfirst into all of that.
And I was just down for it.
That's what's up, though. I'm just excited that I'm not the only anime noob here.
Right. Oh, same. It's so comforting.
It is. is, because it's like a whole plethora of, like, you know, stuff to watch. You're just like, oh my god, where do I begin?
Right. And it's like a mountain. How do I climb it?
Oh, right. Like, I was just like, okay, so where do I start? Like, do I just dip my toes in the water or something? Like, what do we do? But no, that's really cool that you, because I'm starting to get into shoujo now, because I've been into the whole slice of life and romance stuff as of lately with all the spring stuff that came out. And so it's just like, okay, now where do I go? Like, because there's so much good stuff out. And, you know, Crimson has put me onto some stuff that I watch and I absolutely love. So it's just nice to see a podcast that focuses on shoujo and stuff, because we need more of that, I feel.
Yes, yes. I'm ready for the shoujo resurgence. I think next year is the year. I think 2024, shoujo is about to, like, slap everybody in the face, and they're not going to know what to do with themselves.
Period. And all the shoujo girls are going to be like, see, I told ya.
Yeah, we're all on the front lines.
Just, I'll be on the front lines, like, losing my shit when that happens. Like, yeah, this is what I wanted. Like, laughing, like, maniacally.
Are you going to do the shoujo laugh?
Like that girl from Oron.
Yeah.
Yes.
About the floor.
Yeah. Oh, Renge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that. How did you guys come up with the name Shoujo Sunday? It has a really nice ring to it.
It's so cute.
It's very cute.
I have to credit Chica for coming up with Shoujo Sunday. The Sunday motif came from her originally.
Yeah, I wanted it. I think when I get into things creatively, something that people would hear me say a lot is I want things to be done in a certain way, right? And so I really wanted to play off of the name Shoujo. So I was just like, okay, well, what goes with that? Like, Shoujo, like what? Like, what other S names could we, like, put with it? And then I just thought of ice cream. And I was just like, Gianna, like, what do you think about, like, Shoujo Sunday? And then we post on Sundays and stuff. Yeah. And then Gianna was really into it, too. So I was like, okay, great. You know, and so we were able to just fully immerse ourselves within, like, the ice cream puns and created our segments. We created our segments when we started working with people. We're just like, okay, this is what we want to see. This is the vision. Can you make this happen for us? So, like, our logo, our theme song, everything is all just sort of within this world of ice cream and shoujo manga and anime.
Yeah.
That is so amazing, and I love that. I'm also, like, an alliteration whore. I like things that are rhymy and just, like, layered. So I love, like, the whole thing with, it's like, it's Shoujo Sunday, and it's, we, you know, y'all post on Sundays, and, like, that's y'all whole, like, shtick, so to speak, that everything is around that. I think that's really creative. I think it's really cute, and it just fits the vibe of shoujo within itself too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was like an alliteration whore as well. But this was like back when I thought I was going to have kids. No to kids now. But when I thought I was going to have kids, I was just like, oh, their name. Like, I don't know what the last name is, but it's set. That initial, that first initial, it's going to be their name too. Like, I wanted it to just be cohesive in that sense. Yeah.
No, that is really dope. I really do like that. What's on your anime watch list right now?
So surprisingly, it's not shoujo on my list right now. I'm here for any shoujo recommendations, by the way. But one thing that, like, actually that I keep telling myself that I have to do is that I need to catch up on the last season of My Hero Academia, because I just never watched it for some reason. I just never got around to it.
See, I started it and then I dropped it.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, I watched, like, I loved the first two seasons, but I think it was after the third season, I was like, all right. Like, this was fun, but I'll get back to it when I get back to it.
It's so I would say that's one of those ones that is always going to be there is somebody who mm-hmm. has kept up with it. Like, I'm pretty up to date. I might be like 2 or 3 episodes behind. Personally, I'm a bit annoyed with the pacing and the way things are going. But I would say the first 3 seasons are really fun, especially the I think it's technically the second season where they have a tournament arc. It is one of the better yeah. tournament arcs that happen in anime.
So. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I really like My Hero, but I honestly think I ended up dropping it after I was getting a tattoo. I think it's the last tattoo I got. And I was like watching episodes on the table. And then, like, after I was done, I was just like, oh, the tattoo's done. I guess I'm done too. And so
it was My Hero. Goodbye.
You just needed it to get you through that time. Right?
Yeah. That's yeah. right.
Yeah. But I think it's also like one of my, I guess, acquaintances. He's this YouTuber, Vocal Pineapple, and all he talks about is My Hero. So even though I had stopped watching, I was still watching
vicariously.
Yeah, like his reactions and stuff. And mm-hmm. he would talk about the anime, but then also the manga and how Horikoshi, I think that's the mangaka's name, was like doing insane world building and like the villains have their own thing, the heroes have their own thing. And so just hearing like the lore of it through his YouTube videos, I was like, oh, okay, like, great, you know, I'm still sort of interested. Like, and so I'll like randomly see certain scenes and I have a general sense of what's going on. But yeah, I should probably pick that one back up.
Yeah, I'll agree about the pacing. It does feel like it's being dragged out for as long as possible. But I really hope that they start to, you know, get things moving again soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I dropped it after season 4 because I want more from the other heroes. I want more from the actual heroes and not the children. Mm-hmm. I think I'm not interested in the children anymore. And I want to see what's happening with the villains and the other heroes because the children are...
That's why we needed a time skip.
Yeah, we need a time skip bad. Yeah. Because if it's 7 years and they're still freshmen and I still got to hear about the children going through the same things over and over again, then I just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, y'all got to hit up the Department of Education because this is crazy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but, well, what is it interesting? Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. For sure.
Yeah, but like Farrah said, it's one of those things that'll always be there, so we don't got to rush.
Because
mm-hmm. My Hero sure isn't.
No.
No.
Is there anything else on your watch list, Gian?
Nothing specific, but I'm always open to like shoujo recs and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I have a rec for you.
What about you, Chica? What's on your watch list at the moment?
I feel like I'm going through Demon Slayer. I think that what they have Monster. I don't remember which part. Otaku Host Club, I think, said that there's Monster that's on Netflix.
Yeah,
I don't really know what's what. I was just like, oh, that sounds interesting. Like, I might check that out.
It's so good. Please watch it.
Please. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I was thinking about that. Shoujo-wise, I don't know. It's like sometimes I feel like I temper myself when it comes to shoujo because I'm just like, and maybe that's because we have our podcast. I'm just like, should I watch this or should I hold off? And then Shana and I could like talk about it and then we'll have a legitimate organic reaction where both of us don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's always fun that way when we're discovering the thing together.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Kageki Shoujo, we discovered that together.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a ride.
Definitely, yeah. So I think that sometimes, so I'm just like, eh. I mean, maybe the Rayliana one, because ooh, I think I read a couple. Yeah, oh, I like read a couple of the chapters of the webcomic, I think on Tappy Toon, and then I didn't get back to it. But like, I don't know why they gave Noah such a lusty voice. Just like,
oh my god, can we talk about that? Because Noah is something else.
Like, yeah. And he has light colored eyes. I was just like, we're going down. Like,
that's a demon. He's a problem. I was like, Rayliana don't know what to do with that. She need to move. Like, what? Get out.
Step aside. Let me handle it.
Let me handle Noah, please. I need to catch up, by the way. So thank you for even bringing that up.
Also, I love when we do that together. I think we all discovered Chainsaw Man together, and then now that's our thing.
Yeah.
That'll be in the chat. Like, new Chainsaw Man dropped. I'm like, I'm still grieving, but I'm coming.
Yeah, I'm still behind. I gotta step my game up. I don't know. Between reading and watching, I don't know.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I didn't watch anime outside of podcast creation for like 6 months, I think, because I was overwhelmed too. I'm like, how am I going to get to all my friends' podcasts and keep up with all the newest games and keep up with all the anime and all the manga chapters? It is a lot. Like, and I think that sometimes we get caught up in trying to keep up that I think my brain fried. And I was like, you know what? It's fine. I'll just watch what I can for the podcast. And that's fine too. And now I'm back on, you know, keeping up with things for this season. So
yeah, I think we do the same thing. I mean, to be honest, like, so there are new shoujo that's coming out within the season, and it's like, even though we're not watching that shit, we're still gonna retweet it on social media. Hey, here's some shoujo y'all should be watching. You know, we'll retweet like Shoujo Crave or whoever is like really gushing about it, so it's like we're sort of in the know. Even if we're not in it,
we're aware.
Part of the conversation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
What's up. Well, and that, again, they'll always be there. So when y'all are
ready,
it's going to get there. And that actually gets me curious about our next question. What was your first manga? What was your first anime? What started the whole journey?
First anime, definitely Sailor Moon.
Come on, Sailor Moon.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that it was anime. So, like, I didn't know what that was. So, like, when my mom would take me to Blockbuster, I would be looking at things. So I'm just like, oh, this art style, I want this. Not knowing it was anime. But then I also ended up seeing a lot of things I shouldn't have. Like, I saw Perfect Blue way too young. God. I was too young. Like fresh chicken nuggets, all of that, too young.
Not chicken nugget age.
Yes. First manga, I think it was the Inuyasha Oni manga, because at that point, like, my sister introduced me to Inuyasha in like 2005. 2004, one of those years. And then I was just like, oh, I really like it. And she's just like, it's anime. I'm like, that's what it's called? Anime? Okay. So then, like, we went to Barnes and Noble, and I'm like, oh, wait, they have Inuyasha stuff. So they had the regular manga, and then they had the Oni manga, which is like, what's the point? I'm no offense to the people that did like it, but I could just watch the episodes. But I was very young, so I was like, okay. So that was like my first manga. But my first shoujo was actually Fushigi Yugi. It was within the same
that's movie. Actually one of my first shoujos too.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so melodramatic. One day I'll get Gianna into it.
I'll eat up some melodrama.
Yeah, it's good. You'll cry a lot. It's an experience.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I'm interested.
I also feel like by the way, the Inuyasha Oni manga, that was like a vintage relic. Like, that was at my public library, and I ate that up. And I do like the regular manga's art style as well. Like, I liked both, but seeing it now, you're right. It's like, why wasn't we just watching the anime? But I do think that these kids are really long out. Mm-hmm. I think that if you like Inuyasha, then you'll love Fushigi Yugi, because I feel like Tamahome and Miyaka had the same Inuyasha, like, but like screaming over each other and being really weird, but except they had a more gentle relationship.
Yeah, it's less toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Inuyasha was like so toxic. Honestly, I'll say this because I feel like Inuyasha perpetuated struggle of, like, within the Black community.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, no. It doesn't have to be just the Black community, but it perpetuated it because she just, even though he kept going to the dead girl, Kagome would just be there, and I'm just like, girl, please. Stand there's up. Koga, there's that other one, a Hojo. There's all, even the other demons, like, please.
Yeah, she had a plethora of options, at least just to let him stay on his toes, because it's like, girl, you got your nose wide the fuck open. And, like, what?
And see, the thing about Inuyasha is, and people argue with me on Twitter about this all the time, like, even in my own space, like, I had to fight for my life once. Because people really, really hated Kikyo. And it bothers me a lot because I do feel like out of the whole triangle, Kikyo didn't even want to be in that. Like, she just wanted to stay dead. And nobody would let her. And then by the time she woke up, she was like, I thought I handled this already. I'm pissed. And so she was just walking around mad, trying to just finish it off. Like, honestly, the whole triangle wouldn't even be a thing if Inuyasha just had, you know, gave Kikyo the space that initially she was asking for. And right. If Kagome accepted what was going on too, because I feel like at one point she was like, well, you can just do whatever, like, it's fine.
Yeah, she gaslit him.
And then, but it wasn't fine. So then when he was doing whatever, he would come back to, like, hang out, and she would be pissed off. And it's like, well, you can't tell that man to just do whatever and then be pissed off that he's doing whatever. And also, they went through something very traumatic, so it would make sense that he wanted closure. But I think none of them knew how to, like, you know, handle their emotions or communicate properly. So, yeah, it was just, like,
they're all teenagers.
Essentially, yeah.
Right. But, I mean, I think honestly, I'm one of the people that don't like Kikyo. I'm sorry. But, like, I think when it comes to their relationship, I feel as if Kagome was just in a really screwed up place. Now, I'm not saying, like, she did gaslight him and played herself by doing that. But at the same time, it's just like, how do you compete with your literal ancestor? Like, you look... same, like, your bangs is just a little, like, scruffier, but y'all look exactly the same. And so it's just like as if you're staring at someone you're interested in being obsessed with somebody that sort of looks like you and you're told is better than you. And, like, it would just sort of eat, I mean, I understand it eating her alive. I don't understand her staying, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, talk on it. I mean, I'm not, one of these days, maybe, like, when we do, well, this episode will air after, so we're doing this game called The Great Debate, where, like, we want people to, like, you know, speak their piece for these characters. And, like, I really want to end the Kagome versus Kikyo slander, because, like, all of these girls were just caught up in their emotions. Nobody was wrong.
Like, yeah, I think that's the thing. And I also think a lot of people like to self-insert on Kagome, so they feel wronged. I don't know, especially rewatching it as an adult. And I've never super disliked Kikyo. I was more upset with Kagome and her actions. But it's like y'all can't be sitting up here getting mad. Y'all really can't.
Yeah, because it's like, why are we mad at Kikyo? Like, she literally, she tried to kill him because the last thing she saw was him trying to kill her, or what she thought was him trying to kill her. So it makes sense that she was trying to kill him. And then on top of that, it was like, okay, she's alive now. Was she supposed to just take your word that it wasn't you? Like, why would I do that? You know, it's like, I understand her. Like, she was pissed off. And then when she did find out, like, she still didn't want to hang out with him because you're hanging out with a new girl. Like, why would I want to hang out with you? And she looks just like me. Like, this is a spit in my face after everything that we've been through. I just want to be left the fuck alone. And she said that so many times. Like, she really just wanted to be left the fuck alone, and nobody would leave her alone. Like, she could not rest. And I have no peace,
right?
At all. Like, let me take my dirt nap.
Naraku was following her with all of the STDs coming out of his body.
So I was gonna say, STD STDs falling out the body is wild.
Okay, so me and my friend from high school, like, we have this running joke where it's like, oh, Naraku's miasma, because if anybody has like bad vibes, because that's literally how it feels. Like, you ever had somebody come in the room and it's like the whole aura changes? Like, when Naraku was coming, you knew he was coming because he literally, like, the trees would die, like, everything would just turn black and right. everything would die. And we just have this thing where it's like, if you got Naraku energy, like, we don't want you to be around. And it was true, because it was like, how are you so evil off of just like not getting the girl that you wanted,
right? And incel with STDs, because the demons that kept coming out of his body, I see that as STDs for real. Like, he couldn't control them. Like, every episode it was just, I'm gonna get you, and then this green arm comes out. Just like, but I mean, his face was cute, but you know, that was it though, because like, you just never know what was gonna come out of him outside of his bad vibes.
Nobody deserved what Naraku was doing. Like, that's hater on like another level.
That's why I said before, I was like, Onigumo has too much audacity, because how can you have lust for somebody and you are dying in a cave?
Like, right.
And bandaging.
And he probably had erectile dysfunction. So it's like, where do we go from here? Like,
first of all, walking, talking STDs and ED. What? I need to watch this show.
Barely any tea. And like, that's who Naraku sort of grew out of, was Onigumo.
And then had the nerve to be beautiful once he turned into a demon. Yeah, I'm like, what is right. this?
But only his face, though, because his body, you just, just anybody could
Tyler Perry shit. And hey, I like that.
Somebody tweeted that the other day. It was like, y'all not ready for this conversation.
It's like a toss to Tyler Perry.
Inuyasha is very ghetto.
Hey, it is. That's my ministry, you know. Turn it up. That's my jam. I will add that to my watch list. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But don't binge it, though. Yeah. It's very episodic. The first season. Like, the last season, I guess you could binge, but the first couple ones, it's just like, you could tell it's week to week from how they would set up the next episode. Like, oh, this.
Yeah. And there's 7 seasons, so.
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some of it is filler.
Yeah. I mean, but the filler is fucking good.
Yeah, Inuyasha filler is good. But if you got places to be and people to see.
I don't know. I feel like the new age kids, I sound like a boomer, but I'm not old, I fucking promise. But like, like, what's this new age thing with everybody skipping the filler? Like, we don't skip the filler. Like, unless it's really that bad, I don't.
Unless it's bad. Well, and it's funny that I say that, because like last week I was thinking to myself, I was like, this might be a controversial thought, but I think filler episodes do need to make a comeback, because it just feels like some of the writers aren't being as creative as they want to, because the fan base has so much accessibility to them. That I feel like stories aren't being told the way that they want to. And I know that's for a fact, because that's what happened to My Hero Academia. We were supposed to focus on the villains for a minute, and he wanted it to be like the story. My Hero Academia is being told from Deku as an adult reminiscing, but because fans don't know how to act and threaten to kill this man and all this other stuff, he's like, I'm gonna finish this shit in 2 years. And now we probably missed out on greatness because people don't know how to mind their own business.
Also, it's like, I think we should let people, you know, steer the wheel on where their stories wants to go. Like, us as consumers really don't have a right to tell these artists where to put it, because, you know, we're not the ones sitting here creating. Like, this is something that they're sharing with us, and we should just be grateful for the food.
Right. Like, it's so fun to make fan theories and fan fiction and writing in your own stuff for fun, but if you're harassing a writer, I feel like you gotta like take a look inside yourself, you know? Like, I also agree that I think that filler episodes really let the writer shine even more so than the main storyline sometimes, because they really just get to run wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it also leads to these anime seasons being like 13 episodes, 10, 12 episodes or whatever. And it's like, well, even if they're following the source material, how does that make it different? You know, how does the anime become its own entity if you aren't allowing them to create filler and to have a little bit more fun with the characters?
I want to see them in silly situations. I want a beach episode. I want to see them go shopping and get into outfits they would never wear. Like, where's, like, how do I know what their favorite foods are if we never go see them do the little small things in life that are like really cute, you know?
Yeah,
for sure.
Like, give me some filler, especially with these really heavy shows. It's like, these kids need a beach episode, okay? I've been reading Jujutsu Kaisen. At one point, it was just getting so sad. I was like, please get these kids out of here. Like, get them some ice cream or something. Yeah.
I haven't read it or watched it yet.
Oh, really? Oh, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah. I mean, I favorite. Just know that y'all like to screw the people in it, but I don't know. It's like Gojo's number one. I know Stoney is Geto's wife.
I am.
Adamantly.
I know that Nanami looks like Jeffree Star now. Like,
oh my god. Do not disrespectful.
Is it? That's what he looked like.
Somebody said he looked like a Karen.
he looked better in his original, the way he was originally. Now I'm just like, what is this outfit? Yeah. Is he finna die? He should die in that outfit.
Oh my god, put him in a coffin is crazy.
With emo bangs and that uniform. Hey, please.
Oh my god.
Hilarious.
So, well, I guess technically my first anime would have also been Sailor Moon growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have memories of sitting on the floor in front of my TV with like my after school snack, just watching magical girl transformations and being in awe.
I love how Sailor Moon are all of our first animes.
Yeah, like, go, it's a staple. Yeah. My first manga, okay, this is really funny to me. My first manga was gifted to me in 2015. I used to host open mics at like local bars, and someone who would go and like watch the musicians sometime was into anime, and I was like curious about it, and you know, we were talking about it, and they were getting rid of 5 out of 6 volumes, not all 6, I think it was 6, of Absolute Boyfriend, because they're like, I don't want this, you take it, you read it. And I'm like, I opened it up years later, mind you, because I just didn't, I don't know, I found myself with a job where I could just sit in a desk and read. I opened it up, I'm like, oh, this is why they were getting rid of it. But I still to this day don't know how it ends, because they gifted me 5 out of 6
volumes. 5 out of 6? You've enough to just buy the 6th one?
No, just because it's like, have, and are you guys familiar with Absolute Boyfriend?
I'm not.
I collect the every I'm single not, thing not. That woman has made.
Okay.
I love Absolute Boyfriend.
Yeah. It's for sure interesting. I just didn't know if I wanted to follow it all the way through.
What's it
that's
about?
That's so hard, though. That is true. Right, me, I really should go back and see if the boy with glasses ends up being endgame, because I would like that.
Yeah.
That's about this girl, and she order a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean,
so remember when we did a space once where I based it off of Absolute Boyfriend, because it's like one of my childhood faves.
Yeah,
and we called it Build a Bay, and basically
oh my god, okay,
yeah, so it's basically just like that, where you get to pick your ideal. Like, she literally did everything. She got on the computer and she was like, oh, I want him to do this, I want his personality to be like that, he should look like this, and she got it in the mail the next day. But she didn't know that was going to be like millions of dollars. So they're like, okay, you can pay back the debt by like being this test model for this. And so she is. And then they get into all these shenanigans, and she's got to pick through the android or the boy next door. And I mean, it's really good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to order the mangas. That sounds like a good time.
It's honestly a fun little time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Y'all sold me.
Is it ridiculous? Absolutely. I feel the same way about Did you guys watch Chobits?
No, I haven't.
Oh, there was a time, I think, a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh my, I feel like Absolute Manga is like Chobits if it was like done right.
Mm. Ooh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I feel like what happened with Chobits and the whole like, okay, I'm getting my android girlfriend thing is that he kind of made it fetishy and weird.
Yeah, because it was like, for, even though it was clamp, it was for men.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that absolute boyfriend is like, I mean, it's shoujo, it's for the women. It was like, okay.
The girls.
For yeah, the girls. Girls know what they're doing.
Yeah. But it's crazy because clamp is girls too, so I don't know, because they're the same ones that did Cardcaptor Sakura.
Yeah, to be honest, I feel like all their other works are really, really great. Even Cardcaptor Sakura has some elements that's like, what are we doing here?
Right. But... Yeah. Yeah, Clamp loves an uncomfortable age gap.
Yeah. They do. Or just like an uncomfortable power play in relationships.
In relationships in general. Yeah.
So moving on to Gianna. Gianna, who's your 2D crush?
Man, it's like, how do you pick just one? How do you
pick just one? Like me, yeah. Build a harem, Gianna.
Oh my god, right?
Yeah.
The first person that comes to mind is Roy Mustang from Full Metal Alchemist for me.
Come on, Roy Love. Yeah.
Right? That is an intelligent man. That is a passionate man. That is a fearless man. Like, so much respect for him. I remember I was just like watching Full Metal Alchemist. And I'm like, why do I feel like I'm attracted to this man? Like, like this is a fictional character. What's happening to me?
Don't fight the feeling. It's
oh,
okay.
I didn't. I fought it for 2 minutes. I was like, no, I'm fully in for this.
I'm invested. Yes, Roy Mustang is hot. I'm not even gonna lie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When I read Full Metal for the first time, immediately I was like, I like him, I like Hawkeye, and I like Olivia and Lust, and that was it. That was my little harem.
Ooh, okay.
That's a good one.
Full Metal harem.
Every time I watch a show, I gotta gather the ones that I like, and I'm like, okay, now you live inside of my memories and in my heart.
I love it.
See, I love Full Metal Alchemist. I would say mine would just be Sid Curtis and what's that one guy's name? He had the glasses and he was he worked with Roy Mustang. He was like, you know,
Maze Hughes.
Yeah.
Oh my god. That's my man.
Oh my gosh. That's the guy with the wife and the kid.
I'm sorry. I don't know why.
And Sid Curtis also have a wife? Like, wasn't Sid Curtis the
big, he's big and husky.
The husband to their teacher. Yeah, he's just trying to take everybody man's.
Why am I attracted to men with wives and kids? This is an abomination.
Like, well, it shows crazy. That they're like there to build a home, you know?
With me.
They'll commit. Yeah. Yes.
And they're submissive and breedable. I get it.
Yeah. But yeah. I feel like I play online. I try to play conservative, but I'm like a fictional whore. Like, it's like, I have a harem. I got levels to this shit. So, I love Kenpachi.
My girl.
This man starts yelling. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Please. Like, yeah. Crocodile from One Piece.
Chica, please. Because you are spitting right now.
Yes. Okay. I would break his stitches on his face. Oh, Ace. I said I was Ace's wife for the longest time. Every time I do that, like, hear a man go, oh, well, he's dead. Yeah, I know. I've been known. Yeah,
okay, I know.
I've been known. I've been pissed. I remember when it happened because I was watching One Piece when it was up on 4Kids.
Oh, Lord.
So for the longest time, I'm just not up to date now because, like, I kind of tapped out during Wano. But yeah, I was watching it, and like when it happened, when he passed, I was so angry because I mean I was like in college, I think, I don't know, wherever I was so upset. But I didn't have adult money to go to Japan and like yell at Oda. But it's like if I had that money, I would have raised hell. Like, and I took a 2-year break after he died. Like,
damn, you was really going through it.
I was really upset. Yeah,
a grieving widow for sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my gosh, I have some characters in Chainsaw Man that I have exact thing happened to me where I couldn't pick up the manga again because I was still grieving, and then the anime comes out and I'm crying on screen and I'm like, that's him, he's alive, look.
Right, it's just like, write me a cute little short story and then you can add my ass in there, like Chica D Ace, come on. Who else? Probably from everything. Fushigi Yuki. Like, see, Miyaka was just like Tom Home. It's like, I could have all of them, I mean except for the young one. I could have all of them, even like Chichiri, as long as he took off the smiley mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, because they were all fine, but I mean, my favorite, I think I like Toski. And
Toski is my favorite, even though he was really toxic.
He could be really toxic. It's like sometimes you're just in that mode.
No, for real.
Like, I could be bad too.
No, because when he almost raped her, I was like, chill the fuck out.
Right, right.
He did it twice too, because the first time they met, he was like, well, it's no fun if you don't scream. And I'm like, what?
Excuse me?
Right. Once he kind of got out of that, like, I liked him. I liked Hotohori. Because, I mean, I love a man with long hair.
I did
also
too.
He was the fucking emperor. Like, excuse me.
Yeah.
Like, right. If I had a choice, I ain't never choosing poverty and no life.
Is it weird to have a crush on Sebastian Michaelis if he's a literal demon asking for a friend?
Sebastian from Black Butler.
Yeah.
This is a safe space. Too.
Yeah.
He is fine.
He really is.
So, yes.
Also be a butler in your harem.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Come on, harem.
Because he is sexy. And like the fandom has this thing where we always replay this thing that he does with his hands when he was like mixing.
Oh my god, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, like, you see those hands, I'm like, yes, I don't care how many times turn I see that up. Fucking clip, like,
this is my jam. Turn it up. So fine.
Oh, Howell, yeah.
Oh,
God,
yeah,
God, 3000. Come on. Like,
yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like I could keep going, but yeah.
Right.
I said a tweet that was like, if I could talk about all the 2D men that I would like to have relations with, just give me a podium and a sparkly microphone and a PowerPoint and I will go through all the names.
It's like right. When you get that question where it's like, what could you do a 40-minute presentation on without preparing anything? Well, there
you go. Oh, God. Boy, do I have a presentation
for you.
I'm so glad you asked.
Presentation. I got graphics of the positions. Okay, but not too much, but like you got an idea. Like, yeah. Fanfics in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The scenarios. Yeah.
The meet cutes.
Yes.
Okay. Turn it up.
This is my jam.
What's your favorite part about being a part of the Animanga community online?
Honestly, I just love seeing how passionate people are about shows and manga and what they want to get into, stuff that's coming out, even if I'm not like fully within the know of like the seasons and stuff. I just love having passionate conversations and all of the many art forms that have spurred from anime and manga originally, like what cosplayers are doing, song covers, fan fiction. I just love that it's such a passionate and creative community.
I also like when, you know, people are talking about certain things, and it's like, oh yeah, I was part of that fandom. Let's go and talk about it. Like,
yeah,
it's so exciting to like be able to be like, oh, this should have gotten a second season. I hate the way that this character acted in such and such scene. Yeah, I think I like that about the online community. And then the times when we're united on something, I most definitely love that, because if everybody's talking about we need more shoujo, it's like, yeah, these are our people. We do need more shoujo manga, we do need more anime, we need more seasons, we need more merch, we need all of the things. And so it's nice to find like-minded people in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to say this thing that the shoujo like demographic is literally holding up everything that's shoujo, because we support and we love it so fucking much that we're still the reasons why the mangas sell and that we even get animes to begin with, because we go so hard and really water the stories and the authors that we love. So I'm always so excited to talk about shoujo anything. And yeah, like being a part of those fandoms, and you get to like talk about things that you never got to talk about with everybody else. Because as much as people like to make it seem, anime is not that fucking popular. I still have to get online onto the internet to talk about these things. Like, mm-hmm. nobody I know in right. my life is talking about these things.
Right. Like, I think that even though there are technically more people watching it and you can see merch in random places and stuff, but can you really talk about scenes for real with somebody that you met across the street? It's like, in those encounters, it's like they vaguely like, oh yeah, Demon Slayer,
right? Or right. Oh, I watched mm-hmm. Pokemon when I was a kid or something,
right?
And so like when you want to engage with people and you want to do it on a deeper level, you have to go online.
Yeah, you do, because it's like, I know all of my friends, they're mostly into like American comics. They never really get into anime unless I force them to watch it, which really isn't often, because when we're hanging out, we're like trying to connect on other things. Or like when I do find somebody who's into anime, they're, you know, they're like shonen only type of people, right. which is cool yeah. too. Like I also watch shonen, so it's fine. But, you know, it has a special place in my heart when people read and watch the things that I love and I collect and stuff and that I'm obsessed with.
Yeah, I think the same way as well, you know, like, and honestly, I think if people like shoujo, then they like other demographics as well. I feel as if you're a shoujo enjoyer, then you're kind of more well-rounded, because then it's like, oh, okay, I like these type of shonen titles. I like this seinen movie. I like this jose. I like so many different things just because of the fact like, oh yeah, I also heavily love like shoujo anime or manga. And so it's nothing wrong with talking to people that are like shonen only. I just think that, you know, it would be great to see if they could possibly like broaden their horizon. But then that also sort of plays into the way that the anime industry is now, where they're putting out so much shonen like titles. And there probably are shoujo that get into different genres. It doesn't have to primarily be romance, but are they being made into anime, or are they being made into live action? And then if it is being made into live action, is this person going to like sit through it without reading the manga, or do you get them to read the manga first? So
yeah, shoujo manga fans are usually the ones who are the most well-rounded. And that's why I don't argue on the internet with shonen heads about anything, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is all you read, which is fine. But like, don't come for me.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. It's like, you know, and I make this joke, like, we're on the same internet, I can see you, but at the same time, like, there are different pockets where it's like, there's a joke that reigns over here that somebody's never heard before, and they're like, that doesn't make sense, or something like that. I'm like, you're just not over here, you're not a part of the cool kids club, and that's all right, that doesn't make you less than, but I don't know, kind of just like, stay in your lane, don't try to argue with me, and all you watch is like Dragon Ball Z and Naruto.
Right. Yeah. And then like when they get a little too aggressive with it, it's like, oh, I know you smell funny. Like, you, this is going on way too long. Like, why are you keep talking to me? And then those are the same people that will cry and be like, nobody's dating me.
I 100% agree that the men who argue with women about their anime knowledge are definitely single and are still like, well, girls didn't like me growing up because I liked anime. And it's like, no, they didn't like you because you were mean and rude and elitist.
And didn't believe in deodorant.
Yeah, right. You were funky.
It gives telling somebody to name three songs by the band that's on their t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it's absolutely weird because it's like we were having this conversation about like, when do you start to gatekeep?
That's why I'm like, people should gatekeep, because I feel like as a new anime fan, some takes that I do be seeing, I'd be like, oh, this is so embarrassing. Like, I'm so sorry.
No, seriously. Like, especially like the internet. I'm like, did we watch the same show? Like, you're just spinning your own narrative. Yeah. Get out of here.
Like, I was on Twitter and they were talking about the new Villain Saga episode that came out yesterday. And there were people who were excusing this character of what they did, which was gruesome, horrible. And, you know, it's like typical male behavior where you're excusing a man for doing a certain thing to somebody and saying that they were right. And it was like, there's not a right moment. Y'all are just smoking crack. And it's just like, maybe animanga should be gatekeeped and y'all don't deserve these stories, because my goodness.
Yeah, it's one thing to say like, you know what, this character did something wrong, but I still like them for these reasons, mm-hmm. than to start justifying what they're doing wrong and saying that they're right to do that. And it's like, you can like them but still know that that's not okay. Like, let's just, you know, work on that. It's yeah. weird. They get weird. And I'm like, now your moral compass looks off.
What's I was happening? Just about to say that, because now I look at you and I'm like, dang, like, what else do you think should be justified? Like I'm
yeah
bombastic side eye.
I don't understand how Endeavor has shooters when I don't even think he has a collective hour of screen time. Like, why are y'all hyper focusing on this man in the like trying to apologize for the shit that he's done, which was abuse his wife and children? Like, mm-hmm. that's weird.
Yeah, like he literally endorsed eugenics. No, and he was abusive on top of that. No,
I definitely started an Endeavor Needs to Die campaign on Twitter. And everybody was like, you're so wrong for that. I have people tagging their friends to come get me. I'm like, bro, like, leave me alone. And it's like, girl, you're fighting, talking about, oh, he's changed. And then they're showing me panels of him giving a single flower to the victim. I'm like, can you please fucking stop? Because all this looks like is it's okay to beat on women and all this other shit, right. as long as you say fucking sorry with a flower. Like,
what, right,
fucking what?
The bar,
like, is that
hell.
Is that the hill that you want to die on, really?
That's what I'm honestly saying.
Like, please, guys, it's like, now you look bad and now I can't look at you the same.
Yeah,
like, please, like, stop breaking my heart. This is the internet. I shouldn't have expectations. The internet.
We live in a society.
Amen to that.
But since we talked about like the online community and we kind of touched on in-life community, have you gone to conventions? Are you two convention junkies at all in any way, shape, or form?
I've only gotten to go to a convention twice, and it was Anime NYC in 2018 and 2019.
I'm a frequent Anime NYC goer.
Cool. So we were probably in the same room.
Yeah, I'm retired.
You're retired?
Yeah. I haven't been to a convention. I mean, the only times I went post-pandemic was because of I was doing something at work. But I used to be in, like, the circuit. So I did KatsuCon, Otakon, GalaxyCon, MagFest. I went to San Diego Comic-Con 2 times, and then New York Comic Con. Yeah,
you were out here.
Yeah
Yeah, I loved doing it, but I think when I was going to conventions, I was cosplaying a lot, and I just got really tired of trying to build a community within the cosplay community, and then being like dark skin at the same time, and then trying to not get hateful comments. It was just a weird like vibe, and I would try to pick out like costumes. I put a lot of thought into it. It can be fairly easy and stuff. It's just that, you know, I like to do things a certain way. So it's like, okay, like if I can take it up another notch, then I'll do it. But can I afford to do that? And then paying for flights, you're paying for the hotel, but you're not really getting space. Like you'll be sleeping on the floor sometimes and stuff, and like trying to get food and dealing with sort of grouchy people, smelly people. My gosh, like I cannot take, like when I would go to a convention, I honestly could not eat Doritos Cool Ranch for at least 4 months post that convention, because I could smell it in people's farts. Like I knew.
Oh my fucking god!
Because you know people like to do those weird sneak attacks when you're in like the elevator and stuff, just fucking nasty. Oh, but like, dirty. It's like, oh, I can tell you had chlorine. Damn you! So I like technically retired, and then I only did it when I was working at that other podcast for a little bit. I went to New York Comic Con because they were trying to cover things, and so then it's like I was there, but I wasn't fully cosplaying for real. So
yeah, I would retire too. Like, oh, that's PTSD. Cool Ranch farts.
No deodorant. Offenders, yeah. Like, because these conventions people, like, it's just okay, some of these, if somebody tells you, hey, this person essayed so and so, like maybe you shouldn't have them at this convention. You know, especially if they are going around minors. That used to freak me out a lot as well, because I didn't really get into going to cons until I was an adult. But I think one of the first cons I went to, like, I met this girl in a hotel room, and she seemed really bubbly, but then young. So I was just like, you know, me being like 22 at the time, like, how old are you? It's like, oh, I'm 14. Like, what? And like she was like, oh yeah, my dad like took me to the train station, he knows that I like these things, and I've been hanging out with like my older friends, and you know, once they like get a little too rowdy when they drink, I like just go to my part of the room.
Wow,
my jaw is like on the floor.
Yeah
And then some of the people will lose their minds too, like the Gaylord. Like the reason why it's so expensive to go to KatsuCon and stuff is because they'll literally smear, like they'll smear shit on the wall, and so somebody has to clean that up.
Yeah, I've heard people wild the fuck out at KatsuCon.
Wow,
they lose their mind. They'll smear it on the wall. They'll just leave random droplets at some place and stuff, and it just crazy. So they'll also pull the fire alarm. The first time I went to KatsuCon, someone pulled the fire alarm. I was on the 18th floor. I was like, oh, is this real? We're just going to die. Because I'm not going down 18 flights of stairs. Like, nah, man. Like, let me just lay down. I'm good. Then eventually we found out, oh, it's like a fire alarm. We saw some people using the elevator. Meanwhile, all these people had to rush out of the building. And they're wearing these cosplays. But, you know, like some cosplays are really thin. So they're like shivering outside in the cold. There's no fire.
My goodness.
Yeah. Although there are good parts of conventions too, I just think it just depends on who you're going with. I think the group of people that you go with can make the convention like so much better, worse.
Or worse. Yeah.
The cosplays that you're doing, because then if you're really passionate about it, then it's just really exciting, because then you're at the convention and it's like, oh, I recognize you. And I was like, yes, let's take a picture. Yeah, I guess it's really just like the journey and stuff. I don't know. Like if you have social anxiety, like I do, the big crowds, I will never go to San Diego Comic-Con again. The crowds are so huge. I can't really describe it. It's like stadium full lines of people just all around you, crowding, like, and you just want to breathe. like I'd rethink that, or at least I would have a straight up plan on like, we're going to this place, we're going to this place, we have a buddy system, we call at such and such time if we're separated. But yeah, so.
Wow.
A question that I wanted to ask you guys in regards to Shoujo Sunday and the podcast, do you have your besties listen to you guys, or have they been on the show or anything? How do they show support?
So I have a few friends who listen.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had any like IRL friends guest on the show. We've actually only done one collab so far on our podcast. I mean, we're hoping to change that, and we're going to change that soon, but no IRL friends as of yet.
I mean, Gian is my friend.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Together. Yeah.
No, that's so sad, isn't it? But no, like, I don't have friends, y'all. Like, sort of, but not really. So
it's so like hard to make friends as an adult too, when like we're doing a billion things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, making friends as like a grown-ass woman is hard, because like, I don't know, people be weird.
Yeah
I think also like us podcasting, like when we say that we wanted to build a community, we're being so serious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Please talk to us about like shoujo stuff online if you like our podcast, or talk to us about our podcast or whatever. Like, we encourage that. And I think even being in this podcast journey, it's been so nice to meet up with other podcasters that are like genuinely cool, you know, like you guys are so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I love the community that you like built, and it's like finding sort of like your soul sisters in a way. So it's like, oh, you know, I thought the same thing, or wow, like that's how you really feel, Stoney, but okay. Like,
yes.
No. Or like most of the time it's like, when Stoney's in lust with somebody, it's like,
it's questionable.
8 out of 10, I would probably think the same way. If unless it's too questionable, like then it's just like, oh,
no. Slow it down.
Yeah. Or then just Ferris just being so gorgeous,
right?
But yeah, like just the different podcasters that we've been able to meet. What do you say, anime podcast? Kawaii Disappointment, like I guess us finding our pod BFFs has been really rewarding.
Yeah, for sure. Like the whole thing started because I know Chica too wanted to find, we found each other just because we wanted to talk about this and we didn't have people to talk about it with. So when people engage on like Discord or social media or whatever, and then we meet podcasters like you guys, it's like, oh, we get to talk about it, and it just feels so good every time.
Yes, and I love that, and we love you guys.
Like, yeah, we really do.
It was like love at first sight for me. Like, this is so cute, and like I'm the shoujo head, I guess. I'm getting these guys more and more into like shoujo stuff, but like for me, like it's like my number one thing that I love to consume. So it feels so nice to like see like a podcast like specifically about these things, and like all the things that I used to watch when I was younger, the things that I like now. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I love these guys. I love everything that you guys put out. Like, I like the way you guys set yourselves up, the way you guys engage with your community too. I think it's really inspiring. Mm-hmm. You definitely need people who are there for the shoujo girlies and rally them up together. And I definitely think, as much as you guys say like, oh, I love your community, you guys also do have a community that I think that is definitely visible, and you're definitely influential in the shoujo community as well.
That's great.
Yeah, flowers to you guys.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much. It means so much to us.
Of course. Absolutely.
And we need more women-led anime spaces. I feel like men have been in charge a little bit too much over this, and it's like, we need representation, we need safe spaces, and we need community. And like, Yeah, and I feel like we both encompass that within our platforms. So I love that for all of us.
Yeah, me too. Yes. Sure.
Shout out to Shoujo Sunday being the Shoujo safety net.
Yeah. That is so cute.
That's adorable.
Write that down.
Point that shit, okay?
Talking about potting and your potting journey, what do you think was your most insightful episode?
The first one that comes to mind for me is our two-part A Silent Voice episode. That movie hit us, like our souls.
Yeah, because, I mean, we were recording it. I had to strong arm that shit too. Cause like I just finished watching it before we started recording, so I'm like crying. I'm like, yeah, like I thought I was gonna be a G. Like, damn.
I got like got.
I was just about to say that. I'm like, y'all are lost sisters.
We are, cause I'm like, I tell President Ferris, I'm like, y'all, I do not like crying. I'm a thug. Like I was. I come from the trenches. Like, I do not like crying. And then Crimson had us watch Wolf Children. And when I tell you, I sent like two VMs, like, bitch, I cannot do this. Like, I am over here crying, like, not coming down my fucking nose. Like, I can't, I'm inconsolable. I cannot do this. Like, you can't pick out another movie anymore. Like, right. In pain,
just very much like, why did you do this to me?
How could you?
But then I'm like, damn, how dare you? But I'm like, yeah, Crimson, you ate that because this movie is good. Can't be mad at her.
No, like that was such a good episode, and I love what's I think is similar about those two movies, like A Silent Voice and Wolf Children. I'm telling you, they all fall underneath that umbrella, which is like it just looks like it's gonna
it looks
make you
like
cry.
It's gonna make you cry. Yeah,
like I know I haven't watched A Silent Voice either because I'm not ready yet.
I'm not
also
ready.
I know too much.
Yeah, it's definitely a heavy movie, but it's also, in its own way, at least to me, I found it like inspiring in some ways as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just a beautiful story, but yes, you will cry.
Yeah. I'm all for stories of redemption too. And I think we need more of them. I don't think there's a lot of stories, well, at least done well, where someone's like, you know, I did something wrong and I want to take accountability. Like, I think that's really interesting. And it also seems like the main character might actually hate themselves a little bit despite, you know, what they did. So
yeah, I don't want to give anything away if you're gonna watch it, but the main character
Netflix.
Is very interesting.
Yes you'll get mad at him, but then you'll end up like loving him in the end.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna report back.
Oh, please do. I would love to hear, like, you can just like live tweet your thoughts and tag me in all of them, and I will gratefully read every single one.
Bet.
Yeah.
It's going down. I'm gonna cry.
Have your tissues ready.
Ooh, good luck, girl. Salute.
Yeah, she's like, salute. That's you're on your own. That's how it is.
that's your ministry, baby. That ain't mine.
Because sometimes you just need a good cry. And I like animes or just stories in general that make you cry, because sometimes you need a release, but you don't want to cry about yourself. And even though I should be crying for myself, I want to cry for other people, and I will vicariously cry about me through you. And that will make me feel better.
Feel better. Yeah. Well, besides the tears, what made that episode about A Silent Voice so insightful for y'all, would you say?
Just diving so, I had never, and I don't think I even have since, I should put the same amount of effort into all of my reviews and analyses as I did for A Silent Voice, but there was something about the themes and the events in that story that really made me want to fully unpack every little thing. And I just feel like there is a lot of really good nuggets of life advice and relationship advice in that movie, and then analyzing it and talking it through with each other. So I just feel like those two episodes are packed with so much life advice and also just really good in my opinion. I'm proud of my analysis on that movie. So I would say it was like good film analysis as well. So I just think that it was one of our more prolific things that we've done on the podcast.
Yeah, I think we were getting into serious topics, like going into mental health, talking about people with disabilities, bullying, and we wanted to do justice to all of those topics. So we just took it very seriously when we were analyzing everything. And I feel like we were able to resolve things within ourselves while we were talking to one another about the movie that I think really translates well to listeners, or at least I hope that it does. So I think that's what takes it up a notch or makes it that much more insightful, is because like we're learning about these characters and their lessons and how they decide to like keep going, how they face certain obstacles, and how that can also motivate us in real life to get past certain things. So
lovely. I'm going to have to give it a listen, but I gotta watch A Silent Voice first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so worth it.
I know it will be. I just haven't been ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all report back to me and let me know how it is.
Tony say, keep that over there.
Yeah, keep that over there. Where the blood and guts at?
I'm sorry. So what, over there watching Tokyo Ghoul.
Oh my goodness. Shockingly enough, I have not watched Tokyo Ghoul yet.
Oh, that's one you should totally get to.
Yeah, I think you'll love it.
Yeah.
And I already know who's going to be on her simp list. Some of them we're going to have to fight over.
I got to know.
Oh,
some of them we're gonna have to fight over for real.
I think the main one that is gonna be on there is the goth looking one with the black hair.
The one who makes the mask.
The one that makes the mask.
Oh my god. Yeah, that
okay. We're gonna have to tussle for the gourmet though, because that's my man.
That's your man. Girl, you can have him. I haven't met him yet, but you can have him.
Wait till you watch.
I respect Happy Home sometimes. just kidding.
So we talked about the most insightful episode. What do you think was your most fun episode?
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's hard. I feel like we have a couple like iconic ones in the bag.
Yeah,
list them off. Like we don't have to say only one.
Only one. Guys, yeah.
You know, they're fighting for the spot. Just say them all.
Right. The whole building.
The whole building. that was an early one.
Yeah.
There was our Halloween collaboration with Kawaii Disappointment. That was really fun. We each, because we had only covered, I think, 3 or 4. Pieces titles of media at the time. We each wrote our own Halloween episode of the things that we've covered thus far. So they wrote a Maid Sama Halloween episode. I wrote a Silent Voice Halloween special. And Chika wrote a Kageki Shoujo Halloween episode. And that was a really fun time.
Yeah. I'm certain there probably is something that was funny in Kageki Shoujo, but I don't know, probably the daddy one when we were talking shit about
the Kabuki man.
The Kabuki man episode, yeah.
A lot of gay jokes in Kageki Shoujo too, because we are bi ladies and we were just rooting for the Yuri to come through the whole time.
Yeah.
Come on, Yuri.
Right.
I love it when the girlies get together.
I don't think there's really anything funny about Blue Spring Ride. We hate Blue Spring Ride.
Oh, no. That's funny is how much we hate Blue Spring Ride.
Hold on, because I just got that on Blu-ray and Carnival, because I'm like, well, I need to start my little collection going right now because the anime industry is getting weird. Why? <Yeah. laughs> Why do you hate Blue Spring Ride? But you don't have to spoil it, but could you tell me why you hated the Blue Spring Ride so much? Because it looks like a good time. I like dysfunction. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something interesting.
No, Ko's an asshole.
Yeah, he's toxic.
Yeah. Oh. without spoiling anything, right? He's an asshole.
Like, of course, like any character, he has a backstory that's like supposed to justify his behavior, but it in no way does.
I mean, he does have his like, oh, poor boy, that's so sad thing, but I just think he could treat the female lead, Futaba, he could have treated her so much better. And I think Futaba is the type of person, like, you know when people tell you that you need to love yourself before you get into a relationship? Like, she is that person that needed that and never got that advice. And so you just sort of see her grappling with that.
She's also, yeah, like, the type to try to change herself for others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a bad way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just overall, it's like, no. I don't really like it. Like, I want better. And then I went and read the manga too, and I still wanted better. But yeah.
Wow. I can't rate. I'm gonna put that on the list too.
Back. Yeah, I mean, the art itself, if you don't think about the storyline, the art is really pretty.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I got it, because the cover was really, really pretty. And there's this scene where she is waiting for the train and she's like, yo, if he doesn't get on this fucking train, then he doesn't fucking love me, or yeah, something like that.
See, no, wait, yeah. I liked that scene because it was so tense. It was so tense.
And she's waiting, and like my heart was racing, and I was like, oh no, I need to get this. I need to watch this.
Yeah, if they were going to sell you on any scene, I feel like that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Dysfunction. One of my favorite shoujos is Peach Girl, so I don't know. You just kind of sold me.
Yeah, well, I mean, Peach Girl, if we're going on the scale of Peach Girl, this is Blue Spring Ride is real light. It's real, real light. I don't know if me and Gianna are ever going to get to Peach Girl.
Oh, yeah, no. I have no idea what I would be in for
like
that.
It, bruh. Like, I would, if we did it, it would be like, I would be under duress. Possibly. Oh, no.
So if Blue Spring Ride is calm compared to Peach Girl, then I'm going to be good.
Yes. I think our last funny one is the Cat Returns.
Oh,
I think
that was a funny one. Yeah.
It's a good intro. So if anyone listening hasn't listened to our podcast, it is like a one-off episode of us talking about The Cat Returns. So you don't have to go into parts. And honestly, I think because we have like a summary segment within our podcast episodes, if you don't want to watch it, but you still want to listen, that's also totally fine. I'm actually one of the people that like do that. So rather than going to watch movies, I'll end up listening to people review it and be
I
like,
I do
oh.
that sometimes.
Yeah, because I'm just like, eh, I don't think I'm going to get around to it. So what do y'all think? Or what do these people think about it or whatever? But I think it's a very funny episode for a movie that is kind of like okay-ish.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
an okay, it's joint. It's, yeah, not one of the best ones, but yeah.
Yeah, I actually listened to that episode, you guys, and I would
agree. Oh, yeah.
I was laughing because Chica's like, is he still with us?
Yeah.
Like, now she's asking if he's dead. Oh my god.
Like, why did he do one movie? Like, I just like, get to the bag, director. Like, is he dead or alive? But yeah, he is alive, y'all. I didn't know you were recording.
So I think next question that we have for you is that we talk about most insightful and most fun episodes that you guys have done. What is your favorite project that you guys have done with Shoujo Sunday so far?
We just started doing Patreon.
Yeah, we do have the live, yeah, streams we're doing for Patreon. That's really fun already. We've only done one so far as we're recording this tonight, but it's going to be a blast going forward, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you know what? Our theme song.
Oh, our theme song was really a really fun collaboration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, for episode, I believe 10 of Shoujo Sunday, that was after we were wrapping up Maid Sama, and there was a lot of flack that we were giving the writers of Maid Sama. We love Maid Sama, but we were also being critical at times. And so I wrote a fanfic and we read it on the podcast, and that's episode 10. And I had such a good time. I like worked on it for 2 weeks. It was so fun to read it and like go back and listen to. So that's one of my favorite projects we've done as well.
That sounds like so much fun.
That does.
I love writing fiction.
Yeah. And then I just reacted to it like on the fly. So like my reactions to the fanfic is the same as the listeners, because yeah. I was just like, wait,
oh my goodness.
And then Gianna would have to edit out my laughing and yeah. then stumbling on things like, wait, what?
Okay. Like, excuse me. Like, oh my gosh, that is great. I would never have the courage to read any of, because I've written like fanfics like twice in my life, and it was just recently. Yeah, and I don't know. I get nervous when people read my stuff, because I'm just like, oh, it's a little, you know.
They basically read a fanfic every day on the timeline. Like, it's
I don't
understand what the fear is coming from.
I don't know. I feel a little shy.
No, you're not.
It's a vulnerable thing.
Just collectively shy. Like, she'll be on the timeline, like, fuck my face in the morning.
then somebody reads it like verbatim.
But you can't type it out so they can read it out loud, but only if you type it out.
Yeah. Okay, if I do it.
Everybody else, like, no, don't read it. Like, I'll give you $1.
Oh my God. That is so good.
Oh, man. But so with podcasting, what are your guys' goals and everything with Shoujo Sunday?
I think the main goal above all else is, at the end of the day, community, for sure.
Of course.
Just love getting to share this with people. And the more people we get to share with it, the better.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think community, I know we send it a couple of times, but if there were like more people that joined our Patreon, like, we'd like to go back to doing weekly.
Yeah, that would be awesome if we could go back to weekly. It's just, it was too much on me with my job to do audio editing like that every week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think...
Very understandable.
Yeah, I think it would just be great to like get to... I think if we were a little bit more established, then I would be happy about it. Like... I don't know if we'd ever get as far as them, but y'all know about like Trash Taste podcasts.
Yeah, girl, we all want to be where Trash Taste is at.
like, oh, we're touring, like, we're trademarked, all of the, like.
That would be amazing. That's like the dream.
Yeah, like merch, all of that. Like, I would love to do that. But yeah, I mean, at the heart of it, it's really just sort of growing that community and stuff first. But if we could just make it, if we were like more established as like, oh, we are a podcast for real. Like, when you think about like anime podcasts, like one of the first things you think of is like us. I would love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen. And it will happen, because you guys are awesome. And we can see you're awesome. Everybody else can too. So.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay, so how do you guys feel about content creation in the community and networking, and how do you think you stay original and true to yourself?
I think it's a matter of being honest. Like, I don't really like the term networking, because we really just want to make friends. It's not about where someone can get us or get our podcast or give us more reach or whatever. Like, I'm not interested in that. Like, it's cool to grow, and I guess by making friends you are kind of growing, but I don't like strategic networking in that way. I don't think that that's really the way to go about it, because if community is your goal, then if you're building a bunch of fake friendships, what do you really have at the end of the day?
Right. Yeah. I agree. And I think that there have been times where, like, I've encountered it on Shoujo Sunday, like, socials, where you'll see, like, what is it, share for share? It's like, I think. Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Or then there's people like, you're only interacting with our content because you want us to promote your content.
Yeah.
But we can tell that you don't genuinely like rock with us, even on like an, and I mean that not just as a podcasting, even on like an individual basis or whatever. And so that always rubs me the wrong way, because we're trying to build community. And the last thing I want to think about is whether somebody truly cares for our podcast, like our message, what we're trying to do, us as people, versus they want to get ahead. And for me, the thing is, if people want to get ahead, not that there's not space for that, I just don't want to be part of that journey for them at all. Like, yeah. I think, at least when it comes to content creation, I guess what makes us original is that we really just come up with ideas amongst ourselves. I think we're very rarely inspired by what someone else is doing. Not to say that we aren't inspired by people, but inspired to the point of, I want to do it too. And specifically with podcasting, like, Gianna liked podcasts prior to doing this podcast. And then I also liked podcasts as well. Like, I've been listening to different podcasts since like 2011. So us coming up with like our ideas, our segments, like, we weren't really looking at our competition, I guess, in that sense of, what are they talking about? How are they setting this up? How are they doing whatever? And then we can figure it out. It was just like, okay, well, we have this ice cream theme. What do you want to do with this? Like, how are we going to break it up so people know that we're talking about our likes and dislikes? Because we didn't want to just say, this is our likes and dislikes. We wanted it all to be part of the experience. And usually, I think when it comes to us creating things, like, we just sort of keep to that line of thinking of, oh, okay, like, how does this idea, like, fit our overall, like, branding? What could we do to push that? And I think it helps to do that and to be original in that sense, because then, like, people widely know, like, there's no way we're biting off of anybody, because we're organically coming up with this stuff. Like, and that's not to say we aren't going to end up reviewing the same things as other people do. But like, for instance, like, you guys like do like Weeb Cut, right? You wouldn't see us do that. We might join into your space and stuff and like talk about what you're talking about, but we're not going to go and just be like, oh, well, I can find a way for us. No, because as much as we like to have our originality, we also like to support other people's originality and how they built things and, you know, the little idiosyncrasies on how certain stuff come together, their segments, the way that they talk to their community and everything. We love that. And I think that with the podcast that we have become friends with, like, you can tell that there's this certain level of respect between us and them, because it's like, they're doing something, and even if we're all talking about anime, they're doing it so differently that you can't have anything but respect for that. Like, that's so fire. Like, I love this idea. I love how you're doing such and such. I love how you film this. I love how you reach out to people. I love to see people doing well as well, you know, when they're getting like their collabs and stuff with official brands and companies and things like that. So I think content creation wise, we tried our best to just keep to that sense of originality and just hope that it comes across to other people. And with networking, like we said, you know, community is at the heart of it, and we just end up aligning ourselves with other people that we highly respect and, you know, want to talk to more or like hear their perspective on things, on shows, life, things like that.
Copy your shit.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
He ate that up.
Yeah,
ate that up. And I, you know what, I love that you said that. I think that when in the beginning when you talked about how you felt like, you know, coming across people who weren't really genuine and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and navigating that, how that is, I think that's really important to know and for other people to hear about when, you mm-hmm. know, when people like us do these things, because we too, like, as much as nice as our community is right now, we too had like a really hard time coming into the space and mm-hmm. trying to do our things. We had a lot of guys that were really, really disrespectful to us.
I'm so sorry.
No, yeah. No, it's totally fine. It's good now, but we really had to work hard for that respect. And you know, a lot of people who didn't respect us, a lot of people, and it was so frustrating and hard as a creator to like keep having the motivation to show up, because, you know, you didn't really feel like people were taking your art seriously. And sometimes, like, you know, we're still in a space where, you know, and it's really good to hear like how we all show up in the space, because, you know, even if you guys did was just like, listen, I'm here for the money, that's cool too, you mm-hmm. know. I love to hear like where everybody's coming from and what everybody wants to get out of podcasting, because I think we all could learn from each other. You know, everybody's story is unique and everybody deserves space, like, mm-hmm. no matter what they want out of it. So that was really cool. Thank you guys.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
And for our last question, anything that your audience should be looking for in the future? Any big plans for Shoujo Sunday that you want everybody to know about?
Ooh, we got our first big interview.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Fingers crossed, y'all. If it doesn't pan out, I'm going to go back to Crimson to say, edit this out.
Right.
That's fine.
Right. Yeah. But it's looking good for now. It looks very promising.
Oh, yes. So exciting. We're going to be interviewing this voice actress very soon.
Fine.
Yes. If this is coming out in the fall, then.
Yes.
There is another Kylie fanfic special episode coming out right after we're done Oran, which I'm so excited about.
Yes. I'm hype.
Me too.
I'm really proud of it.
This is coming out the fall, you guys have probably heard we are covering Fruits Basket.
Yes.
Yay.
The first season.
Exciting. Yeah, the first season of the reboot.
Yes, and you guys, the Annie Bays, are going to be one of our guests.
Yes,
for our
absolutely
coverage. I think I asked, but if I didn't, I'm so sorry.
No, you didn't, but we are all on board. Yes, ma'am.
Trying to figure out how we were going to get you guys to fucking come back.
So. Yeah. Oh, anytime.
Aww.
Because I actually have mentioned to them we were talking about stuff, because I was like, oh, I know Chica likes Fushigi Yugi, and me and Crimson both like Fushigi Yugi a lot too. I'm like, maybe we should all like watch and review that together.
That'd be so fun.
Ooh, I'd be down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm down with that. I can pick it back up.
Yeah, I love review episodes. This segment is Baddies in Podcasting, and this is literally just to highlight women in the podcast space who are doing great things. And, you know, who will want to inspire others or like want to hear your voice and your story. So
I would love to just do like a separate episode with you guys on yours and on ours again, where we can do Fruits Basket, we can do Fushigi Yugi, because that's like, that's when we really get to know each other and our stories. And then again, I get to dump about how much I love this stuff. So. Yeah. So I'm so down.
Very much same.
Same. Yeah.
So I think those are the main things.
The main things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so exciting. Yay!
I'm excited. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yes. I
love you guys. I know everyone listening loves you guys. And if they don't after this, like, I don't know what to tell you, because this was amazing. You guys do such great work and you review such great stories. And like, you know, this was so inspiring and helpful for me personally. And I know everybody else who's listening out there is enjoying this. So
yeah,
thank you.
Shout out to Shoujo Sunday, aka the Shoujo Safety Net.
Oh yeah, thank you so much for having us. This has been amazing.
Yeah. I feel like it's like talking to like our soul sisters all at once. And so it's not just me being like, Gianna, like I talked to Crimson the other day, or I talked to Sterling or whatever. It's like we're all together, and it's just been so fun. And I know both of us respect you guys so much, what you're doing for the community, what you're doing for podcasting, like just all of the kudos, the flowers, everything. We'll just give them to you guys, because the anibes are fucking lit.
Oh, thank you.
You know, right?
Yeah. Well, it's really nice to, like, you know, hear that, you know, it's just really nice to hear
it
that.
Really, so.
Especially coming from you guys, because like, we admire you. Like, when we say that we love you guys, like,
we really mean that.
Like, I was in the chat, like, I'm nervous, but like, good nervous.
I was excited. I was like, yeah, bring my girls.
I'll just count you guys as like my friends.
We're friends now.
Yeah, like,
we're
locked
friends. We're locked in. We need a group chat like now. Yeah.
I know. Yes. Now we need best friends forever rings. Like, right?
Yes. Oh my God. I will run to my local Claire's.
Yes. Come on, Claire's. Love Claire's.
Me too.
Well, great. Well, you guys stick tuned, because I still got some merch for you. But for all of our listeners here, thank you so much for listening. As usual, we're always happy that you're here tuning into us on the Animes. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Done.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's all that we have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on all our socials. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Anibes Anime. You can even shoot us an email at anibesanime@gmail.com. Again, thank you so much for listening. And remember to keep it sassy, messy, and weeby, just like we do. Simpin included. Bye.